Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? We are back with a brand new episode of Dialogue Heavy by yours truly, Michael Anthony Millen. Now, as you know, everything that's been written on here so far, recited, short stories, films, screenplays, teleplays, all that funky stuff was always written by yours truly, Michael Anthony McMillan. So, guys, guess what? I went and did it. I went and actually shot Fragmented, the first one. And it was an amazing experience shooting it. Trying experience, hard experience, but getting it together was a luxury to have been able to complete something. And seeing it all the way through from a thought in my head all the way up into a premiere that we did last month. So thank you all for coming out to it, attending it. For those of you that I sent it to, hope you liked it. We got a lot of praise for it, and we actually already have been accepted to a film festival, so that's great. Anyway, guess what I did? I've written the second chapter of Fragmented. It's called Torn, and it'll continue in the lives of Paris, Jeanette, and Ro, these three friends that have known each other since they're in elementary school, and they all have their specific problems and the things that they go through. One's rich, and, you know, Ro is a rich girl who happens to have left her man and kind of in the background while she was trying to make a career for herself. You got Paris that's actually kind of broke, but she's a beautiful girl and she uses her body and everything to get what she needs out of men. And you got Jeanette, who is the married girl who seemingly has a good life. Husband loves her, she loves him. No problems in the financial department or any other department, but her actual problem is the fact that she's overweight and she can't lose weight. And she looks at all these little skinny girls online, or skinny bitches, as Rose says in the first one, online. And she can't help but think that she's disgusting. So without further ado, I'm going to get into the second chapter because this is quite a few pages. I want to make sure I can get the whole thing in, so I didn't want to talk too much. So here we go. Torn, Fragmented Chapter 2, Fade In. Interior. Paris is home, evening. Paris, a beautiful young woman, is looking closely at her reflection. We push in closer on her face and closer, then a splash of Windex is sprayed upon the mirror and Paris wipes it off with a napkin. Series of shots. Paris sweeps her living room floor. Next, Paris mops her living room floor. Next, we see pictures of Paris and Ariel, her boyfriend, along the walls. Next, we see Paris's cell phone on a counter buzzing, and we see that she has 11 missed calls. Next, Paris cleans dishes in the kitchen. Next, Paris is cleaning the toilet in her bathroom. Next, Paris plops down on her bed, exhausted. End of shots. Interior, Paris home later. While Paris is finishing up a shower, Ariel, a boy next door looking guy, comes into the house fast, dropping his keys, lunch bag, and briefcase in one motion. Ariel. Paris! Paris faintly heard. Yeah? Paris! Says Ariel. Paris comes into view from the shower. Yeah, babe, what? Ariel looks relieved but angry. Where the hell have you been all day? Paris smirks like this happens a lot. I've been here. Well, I've been calling and calling and calling, and my phone was on silent while I was cleaning. Is everything okay? Would you have known it if it was, Paris? Jesus. Paris. You know how easily I get distracted. One call from Jeanette or Ro, and I won't get anything done. You know that. What did I tell you, baby? Says Ariel. I need you to answer the phone whenever I call, no matter what time or place. What is this? Witness protection? I'm fine, says Paris. Ariel smirks. Ariel, I'm serious, Paris. You know how paranoid I get about your safety. Ariel mopes as Paris comes over to him, propping his face up. Oh, my baby. Oh, my baby. Ariel turns away before Paris turns his face back to her. Hey, I'm not going anywhere, babe. All right? Ariel gives an unconvincing nod. Look, says Paris, I love you. You know that. But you gotta trust me or it'll never work, okay? Ariel finally shakes his head yes. Paris, hey, why don't you take a shower and I'll find us a movie. All right? Paris gives Ariel a kiss. And if you're a good boy, I'll show you just how much I love you. Ariel nods his head. No. No. You know, that's the reason why you're so paranoid in the first place. Who in their right mind would deprive themselves of this? Paris gives Ariel a kiss. I promised, said Ariel. Paris interrupts. Yeah, I know. You promised God you'd be a good boy. Go. Paris gives Ariel another kiss before sending him off into the showers. Ariel from the other room. What should we watch? Paris is searching the TV on the remote. Pornhub! Interior, Paris and Ariel's bedroom, same. Ariel is taking his shirt off when he passes Paris's cell phone. There's a missed call from Trey, Paris's ex-boyfriend. Ariel looks suspiciously towards the living room. Very funny, Paris. Ariel looks down at the phone. I'm just kidding, says Paris from the other room. Hurry up. All right, says Ariel. Interior, Paris's living room later. Paris is sitting Indian style on the couch, enjoying sushi takeout while watching a movie. Ariel is sitting with a drink in one hand, periodically looking over at Paris. After a while, Paris senses it and looks over at Ariel. What? Ariel doesn't say anything. What now, Ariel? Are you cheating on me? Paris rolls her eyes. No! Ariel moves closer on the couch until he's face to face with Paris. Are you cheating on me? I said no. Ariel stares into Paris's eyes. Paris looks back, chewing. Good, says Ariel. Ariel pauses the movie and leaves into the other room. Weirdo, says Paris. Paris dips a big piece of sushi into her mouth and is chewing when Ariel returns with a ring box. Paris almost chokes. Paris, will you marry me? Paris finally manages to choke down the sushi in her mouth. Baby, no. What? I mean, really? Says Paris. Yeah, I want to marry you, Paris. Look, you know I've never been good with words, but I love you. There's nobody out there that drives me crazy with worry like you or bossing me around like you do, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Ariel opens up a ring box and inside sits an old modest ring. Now, this ring is super special. It was my mother's and has been passed down from generation to generation. And I don't have any sisters, so my mom, Paris, looks as though she's under a lot of pressure. Baby, no, says Paris. I can't take an heirloom from your family. That's just it, baby. Once we're married, you will be family. I can't, says Paris. What if something happens? Happens? Like what? I don't know. What if we don't make it? Ariel closes the box, frustrated. Do you want to marry me or not? Paris smirks, but all we need to know is there. Fine, Ariel. But I've been... Oh, I'm sorry. This is Ariel. Fine, but I've been nothing but good to you. I work hard, and I treat you like a queen. You think your ex, Trey, would do what I do for you? He couldn't even commit to a date, let alone commit his life to you. I knew I should have never told you about him, says Paris. He's gone. Out of my life, all right? Is he really? Says Ariel. I'm not going to say it again, Ariel. Ariel looks at Paris for a while. Just because I'm not a millionaire in some fancy house like him doesn't... Paris looks like she's tired of arguing. Paris interrupts. This is getting us nowhere, all right, Ariel? Ariel is breathing hard. What? Says Ariel. I said, all right, I'll do it. Ariel smiles. Really? Yes, Ariel. But, Ariel waits. Rule number one, stop bringing up my past, all right? Who I dated, how much money they had. Ariel shakes his head. Yes, Paris stops. I'm not letting him speak. I'm not finished. Number two, no more asking where I've been all day. No more going through my phone during the middle of the night. And no more coincidental pop-ups at the gym. Got it? Deal, says Ariel. Paris looks at Ariel for a while, then nods over at the ring box. Ariel takes out the ring while dropping down on one knee. Paris puts the ring on, then the two hug. Ariel, you've made me happy. You made me a happy man today, woman. I love you. I love you too, says Paris. I'm gonna go call my mom, says Ariel. Ariel leaves out of the room excited. Paris looks down at the ring and purses her lips, unsure of herself. She grabs her phone and sees that it's wiped clean. No contacts, no emails, no photos, no nothing. Paris looks up, extremely frustrated. Interior, Jeanette and Michael's home, bathroom, anytime, dream sequence. we close up on a slightly overweight but otherwise beautiful woman. She's rubbing her hands together with lotion. Then we pan slowly from her feet to her knee to the knees with her rubbing lotion on herself. Next, the thighs are rubbed on slowly, then the midsection, until at last we see Jeanette in the mirror looking at herself in a powerful, proud look. Jeanette looks from side to side, admiring herself, when we faintly hear what sounds like snoring. Jeanette continues to gaze at herself. We close up on these big, strong hands creeping over her shoulder and start to massage her. Jeanette closes her eyes, enjoying the moment, when out appears Zarek, a good-looking, chiseled man with no shirt. Zarek looks at Jeanette through the mirror, admiring her. Zarek, damn, you look good. Zarek rubs his mouth around Jeanette's neck area, and she melts. Thank you. I've been waiting to get to you for so long, you know? Yeah, says Jeanette. Yes, ma'am. And now I got you. Actually, I want you to do me a favor, all right? We can hear the faint sound of snoring getting louder and louder. Zarek looks away towards the sound. Jeanette turns his head back towards her. Don't pay any attention to him. Now, what did you want me to do? I want you to take... We see Zarek's mouth move, but we can't hear what he's saying. The snoring is too loud. Jeanette tries to stay in the moment, but is starting to get agitated. You want me to do what? I really want you to... Again, we see Zarek's mouth move, but the sound is loud. The snores become unbearable. You want me to do what? Says Jeanette. I can't do this. I can't work under these conditions. Jeanette reaches for Zarek as he backs up. No, don't go, please. I'm sorry, says Zarek. No, okay. Before you go, just give me one kiss. Zarek rolls his eyes and goes in for a kiss. When the snores are at its loudest, right before their lips can connect, a loud snort is heard in interior. Jeanette and Michael's bedroom night. Jeanette wakes up out of her dream, pissed. She turns on the lamp and looks over to Michael, her husband snoring to high hell, mouth gaping open and his pillow in a puddle of drool. Jeanette just pouts and tries to yank the cover, but can't manage to get Michael to move over. Finally, Jeanette gives up, looking at Michael with disgust before grabbing a pillow and leaving the room. Interior, Jeanette and Michael's kitchen, morning. Close up. Michael lays a large plate of potatoes onto the dining room table. The table is covered with other various breakfast foods, bacon, eggs, toast, you name it. As we pull back from the plate, Jeanette comes down the stairs in a full matching gym outfit and hair and makeup done as if she's going to be on the set of a fitness model commercial. She drops her gym bag by the door and yawns hard as she sits down at the table. Morning, baby, says Michael. Morning. Michael smiles a huge smile that seems to detest Jeanette. Michael pours Jeanette a cup of coffee. You want cream and sugar? Sugar, says Michael. He laughs and walks back over to the fridge, and Jeanette smirks, not happy. No. How'd you sleep? Says Michael. Great, Jeanette gives off a sarcastic smirk. You know, I had the craziest dream, says Michael. I was in the forest with Dwayne Johnson. Jeanette rolls her eyes. Dwayne Johnson? Yeah, I know, right? Anyway, he's like this Tarzan King of the Jungle type motherfucker, and he's trying to take you from me. Can you believe that? You're this damsel in a red dress tied up in the tree, and you're like, save me, Michael. So I like whoop his ass, and me and you make love by this river, and his ass is lying there next to us in a pool of his own blood. What do you think? Jeanette's phone buzzes. She looks down, and it's a text from Paris. Meet me at Rose House in an hour, yeah? Something's wrong. Jeanette smirks disapprovingly, then interrupts Michael. That's sweet. I gotta go. Michael stops in his tracks. What? I gotta go. I gotta get my workout in before Rose. The gym again? Says Michael. Didn't you go last night? Jeanette looks a bit guilty. Yeah. When are you gonna stop going to that place? Never, says Jeanette. You already look great, baby, says Michael. You surpassed your weight loss goals a long time ago. I don't see why you have to go so much. because I want to live, says Jeanette. You know what I think? No, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. I think you fell in this new you after that weight loss surgery, and those six-pack having fellas in the gym are giving you the eyes that you always wanted to see. Michael widens his eyes, then laughs before putting a piece of bacon in his mouth. Jeanette smirks. Please, I'm doing this for me. Mm-hmm, says Michael. I am. Besides, nobody looks at me that way anymore. Michael almost chokes on his orange juice. I do. And just for the record, I did when you were my chunky girl waddling around here like a penguin. Ugh, stop, says Jeanette. That is so not me anymore. Believe me, I know. What is that supposed to mean? Nothing, says Michael. I'm just saying, chunky Jeanette ate what she wanted and was happy all the time, Jeanette interrupts. And she was a Snickers away from having diabetes. Michael shakes his head no. So, you had some meat on your bones. What's wrong with that? Jeanette, you should try going to the gym more often. I get my workout done in the bedroom, Michael smirks. Jeanette smirks too. Not like before. Oh, really? Says Michael. And whose fault is that? Miss, I'm too tired. Miss, the gym has me worn out. Miss, or maybe tomorrow. Whatever. I'm leaving. Do you want to go or not? Michael smirks. Nope. I'm fine. Right here. I'm going to sit my fat out of shape ass on this couch, enjoy the fights, and maybe even get a little takeout for dinner. What else could I want? Jeanette scowls with frustration. A better BMI score. What's that? Ugh, says Jeanette. Jeanette walks out and closes the door when her phone buzzes. Exterior, Jeanette and Michael's home continues. It's her personal trainer's Eric. You ready for me? Jeanette looks up excited, then walks out to her car. Interior, Rose house, bedroom, morning. We peer into Rose's room that is disheveled with our focus on the bed. Then there are clothes everywhere. Picture frames of Eric, her estranged husband, shattered. Broken glass on the floor and lampshades toppled over. The phone buzzes, then buzzes again, and under a mountain of covers, we hear a muffled voice. I'm not coming, says Ro. Ro, who we still can't see, hangs up the phone. Moments later, the phone buzzes again, and again, we hear the sound of Ro smacking her teeth. Did I not make myself clear? I'm not going into work today, Paris interrupts. You better go make that money, girl. I still want to go to Bali in August. Paris? Why are you not going to work? What do you want, Paris? Says Ro. Jeanette and I are coming. Ro sits upright in her bed. She looks terrible with her makeup all over her face. She's definitely been crying. Ro, what? No, I had a, oops, sorry, just buzzed us in the gate. Bye, says Paris. Paris hangs up. Ro is flustered. Ugh. She looks around her bedroom, then gets up and walks out, stepping over a bat left on the floor. Exterior, Paris's home, living room, continuous. Interior, actually, excuse me, guys. We hear a doorbell, then Ro opens the door. Paris and Jeanette stand there with bags of food and smiles until they see Ro, and their expressions say it all. Ro turns her back and walks inside. Paris and Jeanette look at each other before entering. Interior, Paris. Home, dining, / kitchen area, continuous. Ro walks into frame, stepping over misplaced furniture, picture frames, etc. Paris and Jeanette follow close behind. Jesus, says Jeanette. Damn, girl, says Paris. Paris looks around. Jeanette, what the hell happened in here? Eric happened, says Paris. Had to be. Ro grabs a glass out of the cabinet as Jeanette and Paris settle at the dining room bar. Paris, you want some breakfast? Ro grabs a bottle of vodka out of the freezer, pours a shot, and takes it, then puts the glass down on the counter a little too hard. I just did. Girl, what happened? Said Jeanette. Ro smiles. Flashback. Interior, Ro's home. Ro's bedroom earlier. Ro wakes up to a tidy bedroom alone. She takes a quick shower, gets dressed, and makes coffee. As she is waiting for her coffee to brew, she looks at pictures of herself and Eric during a happier time. Ro then picks up her phone and goes on to Instagram, where Eric's goes onto Instagram and stalks Eric's profile. There are pictures of him and Allie, his new girlfriend. Rose scrolls until she stops on a picture that catches her eye. All of a sudden, she looks as though she's going to lose it, and we see that Allie is pregnant. Rose's face turns beet red. Ding! We hear the sound of the coffee brewer that it's ready. Rose trashes her home, knocking down, grabbing Eric's clothes and throwing him down the stairs, knocking down picture frames, and then going into the garage and finding Eric's bat and beating frames off the wall. Finally, ending with Roe being exhausted and crying in the middle of the floor, then climbing slowly back into bed in the flashback. Interior. Roe's home dining room / kitchen area, same. Jeanette has her hands over her mouth while Paris shakes her head. Roe looks into the distance, daydreaming, until Jeanette puts her arms around her, giving Roe a hug that she doesn't immediately return. Paris. Oh, girl, I hate to say it, but I knew this would happen. Jeanette looks pissed. Roe doesn't seem concerned about the comment. What the fuck, Paris? Says Jeanette. What? A little sensitivity for your friend you've known since you were 5? Roe interrupts. No. She's right. She called it a long time ago.
She
might do something like this if I kept on putting my career in front of my marriage. That doesn't give him an excuse. And to be with her of all people? Says Jeanette. No. But it gave him a reason, for sure. Mm-hmm, says Paris. Jeanette. Would you shut up, Paris? No. Look. Says Roe. He shut down his IT company when it was doing well to support my dream. Just to put up with me never being home, constantly making him second place, and who was right there every time he called to beg to get me on the phone at work? Allie, says Jeanette. Bingo was his name, says Roe. Now the same chick that was a non-English speaking immigrant with no job experience that I took a chance on just 3 years ago is having a baby by my husband. Paris comes over and gives Roe a hug. And you know what? You know the saddest part about this? She gave him something I couldn't give him. 10 years of marriage. Sorry, guys. Hold on. And you know what the saddest part about this is? She gave him something I couldn't give him in 10 years of being together. Paris looks confused. The cyst, says Jeanette. Her ovaries. Paris looks sad. Her hand gleams, and Jeanette and Rose see it at the same time. Wait, 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 says Jeanette. What is that? Paris looks down and rolls her eyes. Girl, nothing. Rose wipes her eyes. Nothing, says Jeanette. You got a ring on your finger. Are you not the one that said that you would die before you got married? Yeah, and I'm not, says Paris. But you're engaged, says Rose. Yeah, but you're not getting married. I'm confused. Clingy proposed, says Jeanette. Roe laughs. Clingy, says Roe. Paris looks as though she doesn't want to talk about it. Ugh, all right. I said yes. Damn, says Roe. But I'm not sure if I'm going to go through with it. Why not, says Jeanette. Did you not just call him clingy? Yeah, says Jeanette. He is that. But that guy has done everything you asked and given you all the love you can handle. Yeah, way more than I can handle, says Paris. Ariel is clingy as fuck. Did you know he wiped my phone clean again? Trust issues, says Ro. If y'all hadn't had the same number since we were in high school, I wouldn't even be here right now. Jeanette, I know, but he's a far throw from Trey, who was telling you he would leave his wife for you while she was on her deathbed. Paris doesn't say anything. You still seeing him? Who? Trey? No, says Paris. Yes, you are. I recognize that look on your face. What are you, an iPhone? Says Paris. I said I'm not. Roe laughs. Jesus, says Paris. Then, what's the problem with clingy besides the obvious? Paris looks a little weird. What? Says Jeanette. We haven't had sex yet. Both Roe and Jeanette cover their mouths, then laugh. Oh, shut up, says Paris. His family doesn't believe in it. You can't be serious, says Jeanette. That's still a thing? That's the reason why he's so clingy, says Roe. Yeah, He thinks that since I'm not a virgin, I can't wait for him. Well, are you? Says Ro. What? Going away for him? Yeah, says Paris. Jeanette and Ro laugh. My ass. Ro, you remember that spring break in college when we went to Puerto Rico? This girl's legs were closed as much as 7-Eleven. Jeanette laughs again. Paris. I was 21 and fresh off a breakup from my high school sweetheart. You child. Sorry, let me say that again. Paris. I was 21 and fresh off of a breakup from my high school sweetheart, you child. And actually, come to think of it, you didn't necessarily have your legs closed that trip either, Ro. It was for her husband, Paris. Not at the time, says Paris. Jeanette smirks, agreeing with Ro. Paris looks at both the girls like she's had enough. You're still a little hoe. All the girls laugh. Speaking of, Jeanette, says Ro. You look good. What size are you now? Says Paris. I don't know. 12, says Jeanette. Jeanette twirls around, smiling. You look great, girl, says Paris. You do. Congratulations, girl, says Ro. Thank you. Michael must be loving all that loving, says Paris. Not exactly, says Jeanette. With him expanding his business and me at the gym all the time, we just been too exhausted. Now Ro and Paris look at each other like Jeanette's crazy. Now, I know that's a lie, says Paris. You mean to tell me Michael was doing all that loving when you were bigger, and now all of a sudden when you slim out, now he doesn't want to hit it more? I'm with Paris on that one, Jan. I don't even know the last time I've had some. Paris raises her hand saying, make that too. And I'll tell you one thing. It'll take way more than a little sleep deprivation to get me to stop. And I'll tell you one thing. It'll take way more than a little sleep deprivation to stop me from hopping on that surfboard. You know what I'm saying? Hey, says Paris. The two give each other a high five. Ugh, says Jeanette. Y'all nasty. I don't know. I just think I'm ready to do more with myself. And with this weight loss, I want to see the world, meet new people. And, you know, Paris and Ro look at each other. And you can't do that without Michael. You can't do that with Michael, says Ro. Yeah. I mean, no, I don't know. All he wants to do lately is sit at home and watch his stupid UFC fights. You think he's become complacent, says Ro. Paris looks at Jeanette suspiciously. Uh-huh, says Jeanette. Paris, you met somebody, didn't you? Jeanette is shocked. She's been called out so bluntly. What? No. Says Paris. What? Says Ro. I see you, says Paris. Jeanette smacks her teeth. What do you see? Yeah, what do you see? Says Ro. Paris, I see you always checking the time when you out with us. You ain't got no job. Where you gotta be? Jeanette looks at Paris like she doesn't know what she's talking about. Paris continues, always looking like you're glowing when you talk about the gym, staring at your phone all the time. If you and Michael supposedly not on good terms, why else, or better yet, for whom else would you be checking your phone for? Jeanette, I know you ain't talking, Miss Homewrecker. Wasn't it you that was not too long ago sleeping with a married man with kids? I'm just, Jeanette interrupts, while his wife was dying? Don't pass judgment on me because you're pretending to play Miss Righteous with 40-year-old virgin, Paris smiles. Jeanette looks pissed. What? It's because you know I'm right, says Jeanette. Paris smirks again. Jeanette becomes continually upset. What? Says Paris. Says Jeanette. Paris, I was just as defensive when you guys are telling me not to date a married man as you are right now. Whatever, says Jeanette. Girl, says Ro, don't mess up your marriage for some kid with a six-pack who's gonna rabbit bump you. Y'all need to get laid and stay out of my business, says Jeanette. I'm not cheating on my husband, all right? Who are you trying to convince? Says Paris. Us or yourself? Jeanette rolls her eyes at Paris. All right, Jeanette, I'll bite, says Ro. Jeanette smirks at Paris. But remember what it was you said attracted you to Michael the most. His money? Jeanette says. No, smartass, says Ro. Your exact words was that he plays life like chess. appearing like he doesn't know what's going on, only to have been 10 steps ahead the whole time. The room gets quiet. I don't know about chess and all that, but the man always has his head in a book, so be careful. My husband is smart. I got it, says Jeanette. If, says Ro, you're thinking about doing something, don't. Jeanette doesn't look happy. She grabs her phone. Paris rolls her eyes. Ro takes a deep breath in concern. And if you have already, stop. Jeanette, are you guys done telling me how to run my marriage? Paris, you're going to be divorced before you even get to the altar. And you, Ro, you spent more time in front of a computer than you did under your man. So spare me the details on how to be the world's number one wife, all right? I gotta go. Paris, are we going to the mall or not? Paris rolls her eyes, then looks to Ro, who is quiet in contemplation. Ro, says Paris, you wanna go? Get out of the house? Ro snaps out of her haze. No, I got something to do. Exterior, gym, parking lot, day. Paris walks out of the gym with a few girls. Water in one hand, yoga mat in the other. She waves bye to them as she makes her way to her car. Exterior, Paris vehicle. Continuous, Paris looks to be in deep thought as she throws her yoga mat in her trunk. Paris stops and dials a number on her phone. She holds the finger over the call button for a while, then before she can press call, aerial calls. Paris hesitates, rolling her eyes in frustration, then answers. Hey, babe, says Paris. No. Just got out of the gym. No, I'll be home soon. Soon, babe. What did we just talk about? Paris gets in the car and closes the door. Interior, Paris's vehicle continuous. Paris drives, listening to a podcast host. But people are tricky, no? And so is love. Like, what is the difference between the type of love you have for a family member, a friend, or someone you're in a romantic relationship with? I'm not sure. But there should be a different word to differentiate them all. And people should stop just saying the word love in passing in general. In one capacity, we use it like Romeo and Juliet. Then in the next, we're talking about our favorite sports team. Like, what is that? And what about this? What happens when you're caught in a romantic relationship with someone you love more as a friend than an actual lover? You meet a guy and he's nice. And although he has a lot of things that are though there's a lot of things that are off, you stick it out because you're tired of being alone Friday nights eating ice cream until you pass out. So you go out on a few dates, travel, maybe meet each other's family. Then boom, a year later, you're living and sleeping with the dude who should have been at most your homeboy. It can't get any worse than that, right? Paris is arriving at her house when she sees Ariel grabbing groceries out of the car. Paris looks torn. Then she makes a U-turn and drives away real fast. Exterior. Trey's gated community day. Paris is driving through a gated community, looking around fascinated. There are manicured lawns, nice cars, people playing tennis on a perfectly painted court, you name it. Exterior Trey's house continues. Paris pulls up and walks to Trey's front door, looking at her surroundings. Trey is opening the door when Paris sees her engagement ring. She quickly takes it off and puts it in the pocket of her tights. Paris smiles and we see Trey, Paris's good-looking ex-boyfriend. Paris, hi. Hey, says Trey. Interior, Jeanette and Michael's bedroom. Jeanette sits on her bed in a towel, texting Zarek. I can't wait for you tonight. I can't wait for tonight, says Jeanette. Me either, says Zarek. It's about time I see that body we worked so hard on to get for you. Jeanette smirks. I bet you say that to all the girls. Wouldn't you like to know? Jeanette kicks her feet in excitement. Exterior, Michael and Jeanette's house, home. Exterior, Jeanette and Michael's home, same. Michael is pulling into the driveway whistling. He opens the trunk and we see flowers and chocolates. Interior, Jeanette and Michael's bedroom, same. Jeanette continues her conversation with Zarek, walking to her bedroom mirror. Well, tonight is all about me, right? Says Jeanette. Yeah, says Zarek. But can you handle what I got for you? That's my question. Jeanette rolls her eyes, blushing. I guess we'll have to see. Jeanette puts her phone down on the dresser, then walks into the bathroom, closing the door. As she does, we pan downstairs and Michael is coming through the front door. Boo boo! Boo boo! I got something for you. Interior, Jeanette and Michael's home. Bathroom continuous. Jeanette turns on the water on the shower. Interior, Jeanette and Michael's kitchen continuous. Michael puts his flowers in a vase of water and makes them look nice, plucking a leaf here and there, and then he puts some champagne in the fridge and leaves the chocolates on the counter. As he walks past the dining room table, he sees a Victoria's Secret bag on the table. Michael looks at it suspiciously. Beat. Then he smiles real big. Oh, hell yeah. Michael walks upstairs. Interior, Jeanette and Michael's home bathroom continuous. Jeanette is in her own world, feeling the warm water on her body. She smiles, thinking about the dream she had last night with Zarek. Then boom, the curtains are yanked open and Michael is there naked. Jeanette looks like the damsel from the Alfred Hitchcock film Psycho. Baby, says Michael. Jeanette screams, ah, what the hell, Michael? What are you doing in here? Says Jeanette. Nothing, I wanted to surprise you. Mission accomplished. Why are you naked? Because it's my house and my wife is up here soapy looking like a snack. Michael smirks. Jeanette almost looks disgusted. Michael can sense her disappointment. He puts a towel on. What the fuck is going on with you, Jeanette? Excuse me? I come home early to be with my wife, spend time with you, maybe clean up whatever freak show you got going on in your head lately, and this is how I'm greeted? Damn, Jeanette. Michael walks out. Jeanette takes a breath before going back into the shower. Interior, Jeanette and Michael's bedroom continuous. Michael walks into the room and starts to get dressed as Jeanette's phone lights up. Michael picks it up. Interior, Jeanette and Michael's bedroom. Moments later, Jeanette walks into the room, rubbing lotion on her arms. She's looking at Michael through the mirror as he lays in bed. Michael, I'm not mad at you, all right? It's nice that you came home early. You just scared me. I mean, I thought I was alone. And boom, there you are. Jeanette looks down at where she left her phone and sees that it's gone. Her eyes widen, but she tries to play it off as she turns around towards Michael. So, what did you have in mind to do for tonight? Michael looks calm as a cucumber. Well, I brought home flowers, Jeanette interrupts. Oh, that's sweet. Michael looks up at Jeanette, and there is something in the air. Both of them already know what's going on. And champagne, some chocolates. Ah, you know what? On second thought, you can't have any of that, huh? Your diet. No, I can. I mean, one or two won't hurt. Really? Says Michael. I wouldn't want you to have to go to the gym right after. Michael has Jeanette's phone in his hand, scrolling. Jeanette looks genuinely scared. Baby. Jeanette, says Michael, pack your shit and get out. No, baby. Get the fuck out of my house, Jeanette. Why? Jeanette looks like she may cry. Why? I don't know. Let me see. Michael starts to read. Jeanette tries taking the phone from Michael. Just looking at your body makes me wet, huh? Ever since I met you, every night I dream about you inside of me. Are you out of your fucking mind? Jeanette, it's not what you think. Oh, I know it's not what I think. Michael throws Jeanette's phone against the wall. Jeanette screams, ah! My wife is fucking her trainer. Jeanette walks over to Michael, grabbing his arm. Nothing happened, baby. I promise. Oh, so you didn't fuck him? No, you didn't? No, no, says Jeanette. Michael picks up Jeanette off the floor and gives her a hug while she's crying. All right, okay. Now you can't. Jeanette breaks down as Michael leaves the room, closing the door behind him. We faintly hear Michael, the fuck out of my house. Interior, Jeanette and Michael's home front door. Later, Jeanette comes down the stairs and walks past Michael, who is holding the door open. She's carrying a gym bag full of clothes. Jeanette stops in front of Michael at the door. Baby, please, says Jeanette. Beat. Michael nods for her to leave. Jeanette walks a few steps. Oh, hold on, says Michael. Michael leaves, then comes back with Jeanette's Victoria's Secret bag. wouldn't want you to forget this. Jeanette doesn't have the strength to say much else. She walks away. Michael walks into the house and closes the door. Jeanette stands there alone with her gym bag and Victoria's Secret. Her gym and Victoria's Secret bag. Exterior, Rose home doorway. Ro opens the door and Eric, her ex-husband, and Allie, his new girlfriend, are standing there. Eric, Allie, please come in. Eric and Allie look at each other before following Ro inside. Interior, Rose home. Dining kitchen area, continuous. Please take a seat. You guys want something to eat? Drink? No, says Eric. No, says Allie. You sure? I can order out, says Ro. Eric shakes his head as if saying Ro is pathetic. No, thank you. We can't stay very long, says Allie. Eric interrupts. What do you want, Ro? You could have kept cursing us out over the phone or via email. You didn't actually need us to be here. Allie looks down. Ro, you're right. I've been tough on you too. Tough? Says Eric. You've been giving Allie double her workload, working weekends, doing things an assistant has no business doing. Quit meddling in our relationship, Ro. Says Allie. Ro interrupts. Don't tell me how to run my business, Eric. Don't tell me how to run my business, Eric. I don't give a damn about your business anymore. Just quit fucking with her and She didn't do anything to you. Nothing, says Ro. Can I please, says Allie. Eric interrupts again. Allie puts her hand on her forehead. No, hold on, baby. She needs to hear this. I did everything I could to hold on to that sorry excuse for a relationship, Ro. You just treat everyone in your life like it's a goddamn mergers and acquisitions meeting. Can I please, Allie? Allie says. Eric waves off Allie. So yeah, I found someone who talks to me, listens to me, and is actually interested in things outside of her own fucking success. I knew you were jealous of my success, Eric smiles. Really? Then why would I leave my own company to support you then? Huh? If anything, I was resentful that after all the sacrifices I made, you turned on me and made me feel like my contribution was nothing. And what do you got now? Just some money in this big ass house? Can I speak now, please? Says Allie. Eric and Ro are silent. Eric rubs Allie's back. Miss Ro, says Allie, I never meant this to be like this. It just did. And really, I made Eric come over here today because I know things are going to have to change if we're going to stay in each other's life. Ro shakes her head. Allie continues. And I'm hoping with time we can all be like a family. Allie looks at Eric. Eric shakes his head no. Allie grabs his hand and nods. Because we are pregnant. Allie and Eric look to Ro. Ro just smirks. Allie continues. And I want you to be a part of this baby's life. Ro looks up and out the window in contemplation. Okay, says Ro. And maybe, says Allie. And maybe be the godmother? Baby, slow down, all right, says Eric. She's not ready for... Ro interrupts. No. I think that would be great. You're right. With my career, I could never... Never mind. I'd be honored. Eric looks suspiciously. Looks at Ro suspiciously. Really? Yeah, says Ro. Yes, Eric, I would. It's not ideal. Ideal? Shit, it's not even practical, but I wouldn't want to miss watching this little baby grow up. It's a part of you. And it doesn't matter if it's not biologically mine. In some strange way, I feel like it's a part of me as well. She, says Allie. Ro pauses and looks like she's going to cry. She. Yep, says Allie. Just found out before we came. And she'll be here soon enough. Eric sees that Ro is getting emotional. Yeah, maybe we should go. I got some baby stuff to finish up anyway, says Eric. Eric and Allie stand. Exterior, Rose home, driveway, continuous. Eric helps Allie into the car, then goes to the driver's side. Ro reaches out for a hug. Eric looks at Allie, then gives her one. Thank you, says Ro. For what? Says Eric. For making me see what's important. And what's that? Family and love is more important than anything else. Okay. says Eric. Eric lets go of the hug and gets into his car, and him and Allie drive off. Allie waves, Ro waves back. When they're out of sight, Ro gets a text from Jeanette. I need to stay at your place tonight. Ro rolls her eyes, then walks into the house. Fade out. All right, guys. So that is chapter 2. It's been a while since I actually recorded a podcast, so I know I sounded like crap, and I had to re-record or re-say a couple of lines. But I think we got the part, you know. I think we got what we needed to say. So thank you very, very much for listening to this episode. I got the girls on their way. The chapter 3 is going to be a barn burner because we're going to come to an end. I'm going to make sure these girls have a ending in the next one. And I plan on shooting these together. I plan on shooting. So we shot the first one, and I went and wrote this, did my research and everything, and started writing it maybe about a week and a half ago now. But I did all the research and everything leading up to it, so the writing wasn't necessarily hard. But this is a first draft, so I got a couple drafts to get through. But I plan on shooting chapter 2 and chapter 3 together, and then hopefully combining it as a full movie, or just 3 separate chapters and stuff like that. But we have some time pass because Portia, the lady that plays Jeanette's character, is taking her time and losing weight the right way in order for her to be casted in chapter 2 of this movie. And also, we got to get our finances and everything together to shoot chapter 2 and chapter 3 anyway. You know, these locations are going to be crazy and stuff like that, so it's going to be rough, but we're going to get it done. We will get it done, and I'm pretty excited about it and stuff. But I hope that you liked it. I pray that you did enjoy the chapter 2 to this. If you haven't seen the first movie, don't even listen to this yet. Go and watch the first movie. If you need a copy of the first movie, we are in film festival season right now, so I can send it to you personally. I just can't put it publicly up like on YouTube or anything like that, because I need to make sure that these film festivals make the money that they need to make too. But anyway, hope that you like it. You know that you can always get a hold of me via Instagram or via email. My Instagram is at Michael, spelled the regular way, period McMillan. That's Michael, period McMillon. And then my email is mzzack199@gmail.com. So I will talk to you guys later. Thank you so much for listening to Dialogue Heavy. I will holler at you. Peace. I'm out of here.